Cold Heart.
Jack Lauren burst through the scrub oak at the foot of the clearing where Mildred worked and the others watched.
Maybe 30, riding hard.
Shit!
Instantly, Doc tossed her J.B. Smith & Wesson long blaster and unleathered his cumbersome Lama percussion pistol. Mildred's hands were still encased in gloves of gore when she fielded the M4000. She winced. J.B. was going to have a fit when this was done. She preferred her own target-grade ZKR 551 38 caliber hand blaster, but unlike Doc Tanner, she wasn't nutty enough to waste time swapping for it when the hammer came down. Instead, she threw the shotgun to her shoulder just as three riders burst out of the patch of mountain oak, hard on Jack's tail. One of them swung a club that looked like a baseball bat with nails driven into it. The head snipped off at a bias to create a bristle of lethal spikes. The albino youth dove face down into the tan grass, and the horses thundered past him.
Bastards!
Mildred aimed the front sight right for the middle of the fleshy, black-bearded face of the man who dropped Jack and pulled the trigger. The blaster bucked and roared. The face disappeared in a spray of red blood and white bone chips. But the physician's pang of grief was unnecessary. As canny and feral as a wolf, Jack had gauged the swing and dove to avoid it. He reared up to one knee and blasted off three shots from his Colt Python. A brown-haired Colt Heart with ochre stripes painted across his hatchet face threw up his arms in a spasm as one of the 158-grain Magnum rounds blew one of his vertebrae into powder, then carried on with the aid of bone splinter shrapnel to pulp his heart. A remade Mini 14 with a broken stock went spinning away as his horse reared and dumped him over its rump. The third rider charged straight for JB, a long black queue of hair with finger bones braided into it, flapping like a pennant behind and blazing away with some kind of booming revolver. He had no more luck firing from a galloping horse than most did who tried such a stupid stunt. The armorer coolly reached down, picked up his Uzi, and held down the trigger one-handed. Copper-jacketed 9mm slugs punched holes in the rider at the buckskin-clad thigh, walked their way up his filthy plaid flannel shirt, tore out one side of his jaw, and poked a hole through one cheekbone. That rider went down, the horse veering off into the brush to get away from the terrible flame and noise that had gone off in its face. Jack pelted upslope, stepping on the still writhing body of the man he'd shot.
Where are Ryan and Christy?
JB and Mildred looked blankly at each other. Ryan stood with his rifle butt against his shoulder, but the barrel depressed, seeking targets. The telescopic sight severely restricted the shooter's field of vision. He didn't want to be lost in the scope when an attacker appeared from a whole different angle. Christy was beside him, her 38 Smith & Wesson Model 640 in hand. It wasn't an ideal weapon for a fight in the woods, even with the undergrowth cutting down engagement range. Still, it beat a knife to hell. The clearing they were in was much smaller than the one 100 paces or so away. Not far downslope from the entry to the redoubt, where they had left their comrades to butcher the carcass of the deer Ryan had shot that morning. They heard crackling in the brush, glimpsed large shapes between the trees. Horsemen, Christy mouthed to Ryan. He nodded. Neither fired. Against a known enemy, ambush was mere good sense. But unless you were a stone cold heart yourself, you didn't shoot at strangers on sight. Enemies were plentiful enough as it was, without going out of your way to manufacture more in the vengeful survivors. From the direction of the camp came shouts and shots, which changed everything. With Christy ghosting along at his side, Ryan moved fast and crouched, not directly back to where the others were, but at an angle down the mountainside. That way, they might either take a force attacking their friends in the flank, or possibly intercept enemies attempting a flanking maneuver of their own. The forest had come alive again with sounds of a different sort. Yells, the thudding of hooves, the crack of branches breaking. Apparently, a substantial band of mounted riders had stumbled upon their camp. Ryan had time to be thankful his group had camped so near the redoubt entrance. There were too many attackers to stand off, and even in these woods, a party of six would have had a hard time evading them. The possibility of negotiation never entered his mind.
Heads up!
I see them.
Three horsemen had appeared not 20 yards downhill, heading directly for them, trying to outflank JB and the others. One carried a dilapidated lever-action carbine with brass tacks hammered into stock and foregrip for decoration. One, a slab-sided 1911 Model 45 auto pistol. The third, a steel-headed lance decorated with feathers and what seemed to be scalps. Both riders and mounts were painted in fanciful patterns. The horseman faltered in surprise at encountering the pair. The carbine man threw his weapon to his shoulder. Ryan already had his stire up, cheek welded to stock. He laid the crosshairs just below the wrist of the Coldheart's left hand, which supported the carbine's forend. He squeezed the trigger. The rifle cracked and slammed his shoulder. His horse, a buckskin with a blue ring painted around one eye, reared. The man toppled right over the horse's rump without firing. The spearman kicked his horse into a charge. Christy crouched, holding her blaster at full reach of both arms, coolly waiting with her hair stirring around her shoulders. When the rider got within 10 yards, she began squeezing off shots. A bullet entered the rider's belly. Another smashed his shoulder. He fell. His horse, shearing away from the red-headed woman, dragged him off through the trees at a panicky run. The third rider had hesitated when the man with the carbine was hit. Then he turned his pinto away and booted its sides.
Yeah!
He was just about to vanish among the trees when Ryan threw the bolt and brought the Steyr SSG back online as quickly as he could.
Yeah!
The bullet broke his spine, just above the level of his heart. Ryan had no qualms about blasting an enemy in the back. It was just a way to make sure he didn't circle around once out of sight to try his luck again, hopefully when your guard was down. Ryan looked at Christy. She had the cylinder open, had spilled both empties and whatever unfired cartridges remained into her hand and transferred them to her pocket, and was feeding in reloads quick as she could. She could sort the spent casings from the live rounds later. What counted now was a full hand blaster.
You okay?
Yeah. Let's go.
At the camp, JB, Mildred, Doc, and Jack had fanned out and taken cover. They didn't have long to wait before more Colt Harts arrived. 8 riders charging them across the 30-yard-wide clearing. JB sprayed them with one long burst from his Uzi. A 9mm slug was unlikely to drop a horse, at least right away. But back in the trader days, the armorer had noticed something about horses. They had minds of their own, and they didn't like getting hurt, and they especially didn't like the smell of equine blood. Also, their legs, skinny by comparison to their big muscular bodies, were relatively fragile. So he deliberately fired low, hoping to cripple or wound as many mounts as possible, as fast as possible. 2 horses went down, one pinning its rider's leg, one began bucking uncontrollably, and a 4th simply turned and ran away, despite its rider's cursing and hauling back on the reins. Mildred hated seeing animals suffer.
Damn!
She was actually fighting tears when she unloaded a charge of buckshot from JB's M4000 into the glossy brown chest of a bay. It reared. Its rider calmly aimed a sawed-off double gun at her. She fired at him rapidly and had to have hit him because he fell before his horse did. Jack blazed away at a rider charging him. Scarlet bloomed against the horse's white neck, but the animal only stumbled, then came on. The rider was returning fire with a hand blaster, but only throwing up clumps of pine needles near the albino. Jack rolled to the side as the injured horse ran right through the place where he'd lain prone. Its rider reined it in, pivoted in the saddle, trying to turn his blaster to bear on the albino youth. Then the Colt Hart dropped the hand blaster and clapped his hand to his neck just below his ear. It wasn't quite enough to stem the violent spray of blood from the carotid artery, severed by the leaf-bladed knife Jack had thrown. A wiry rider armed with a machete, to which some enterprising post-nuke weaponsmith had added a spiked knuckle duster using a handguard, rode a black horse with a white blaze straight for Doc, who was kneeling with his lama in one hand and his sword stick in the other. Doc had already fired several shots at other targets, but he emptied the remaining 44 rounds into the horse. The beast collapsed. The rider rolled over his mount's neck, somersaulted, came up on his feet, running right at Doc. As he ran, he raised his machete over his head for the death stroke. Then he looked down at his chest. A slim length of steel had transfixed it, right through the heart. Doc had unsheathed a rapier from his sword stick, and the Colt Hart had impaled himself. The marauder looked at Doc with an expression of complete surprise.
Fare thee well, noble adversary.
One of the Colt Harts whose mount had been downed was kneeling, firing wildly with a .22 caliber Ruger autoloading rifle. Abruptly, the right side of his head opened up in a cloud of pink spray. Ryan and Christy had arrived in some brush at the edge of the clearing. The one-eyed man had popped a 7.62mm round through the raider's temple. There was a rustle and swirl of motion farther down the slope as the other Colt Harts withdrew. From the shouting, it sounded as if there were plenty of them left.
Go!
Ryan broke from cover. Shots cracked from the trees, knocking out chunks of bark and raising little sprays of fallen needles from the ground.
We've got to clear out while we got the chance. They won't hold back for long.
Mildred looked toward the deer carcass she'd been gutting. A bullet cut the rope that suspended it from the branch. It fell into the dirt. Not even she had enough 20th century squeamishness left to care much about that. It'd wash off, but the damn thing was simply too heavy to try to pick up and haul off under fire.
Son of a bitch!
She grabbed her pack, and still clutching JB's shotgun, ran toward the redoubt entrance. With a running start, Ryan reached the entryway first. Instead of ducking behind the granite protrusion that sheltered the entrance from view, he spun, knelt, and began firing to cover the others. They came, Doc Tanner first, running with surprising alacrity, his elbows out to the sides and pumping, Jack, hair trailing like a cloud of white smoke, JB, crab-walking alongside Mildred to make sure she made it while spurting quick bursts from his Uzi toward the unseen foe. Realizing their quarry was somehow getting away, the Coldhearts raised an outcry of furious frustration. Riders burst from the trees and scrub like steel marbles from a claymore mine, hurtling toward the redoubt entrance. Ryan dropped them as fast as he could throw the Stire's butter-smooth bolt. Christy was beside him, knowing he'd insist on her getting to safety before he would, but wanting to stand by him as long as she could.
Go, Christy!
All right.
She turned to dart inside the entrance they'd left open as he fired the last shot in the SSG's detachable magazine.
Christy?
Ryan took his eye from the scope to see Christy slumped against the granite face with a crossbow bolt protruding from her back, just inward of the left shoulder.
Christy!
The woman came around. With her right hand, she raised her blaster. The crossbowman was closing fast, dropping his spent weapon to reach for a Bowie-type knife and a beaded sheath under his arm. With cool deliberation, Christy aimed and shot him through his thick, dirty throat. As he fell, Christy turned at last and stumbled into the redoubt. A rider loomed above Ryan. He was a big man with flying blonde braids and an eagle feather at the back of his skull, grinning all over his bearded, painted face as he raised a battered CAR-4, a 9mm submachine gun version of the venerable M16. Ryan knew at once he was the Coldheart's leader.
You lose, fucker!
Uh-huh.
Ryan had already released the empty rifle with his right hand, still holding it in his left. His Pongo whispered from its sheath. The heavy blade quickly severed the Coldheart's gun hand right above the wrist.
What?
The raider boss stared in gape-mouthed amazement at his own hand, lying in the bare dirt, spinning as random dying neural impulses spasmed the finger on the subgun's trigger. Blood sprayed from his arm like a hose. Ryan followed his injured woman into the redoubt, then keyed the blast-proof door shut.